Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it's February 1st, 2018, and it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. And a lot to talk about this month, Mickey. Always great to do the show with you, and let's get going. Oh, by the way, email us with any questions, kl@kerrylutz.com. And of course, Mickey's site, you know it well, mercenarygeologist.com. Mickey, how are you?
I am well, Kerry. How are you this morning?
All good. All good. Ready to do the monthly review. And let's see what we got here. Well, I guess we will start off with the markets first and foremost. And just like Old Man River, they just keep moving along.
Keep rolling right along, Kerry. Yeah. The Dow, the S&P 500, NASDAQ. Could be the best January ever. I'm not really sure, but the returns were astounding. The Dow closed at 26,149, up a whopping 5.8%. S&P 500, 28,24, up 5.6%. NASDAQ, 74,11, up 7.3%. Only 5 days of 22 during the month were down days. And more importantly, I think there were record highs just day after day after day, and often at the session end. So we hit the high for the day at the end of the session. On the other hand, the small caps continue to lag other markets. And this would be despite the tax cuts, which came in mid-month, very positive for small business. And they really have lagged since the surge, which happened right after the Trump election. They were up 11% the month that he got elected, and they've continued to lag. Earnings have lagged in the small cap, too, but I would say that it's a bit of irrational exuberance, to use Greenspan's great line, for large cap tech stocks, and we can't leave the cryptos out of that.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, you know, markets can stay irrational a lot longer than you can stay solvent, right?
Absolutely.
So what's your feeling here? Are we going to see a pullback here? I mean, the market's been a little volatile the past couple of days, a little bit of a pullback. What do you think?
Really hard to say. The fundamentals, the chartists, the technical analysts, everybody seems to continue to be bullish. You know, I've quit saying we're long overdue for a correction. That's obvious. The Dow is up a bit today. Our markets are really flat this morning. So it is what it is, Kerry, and ride the wave. And at some point, it'll be time to move your money into some other things. But right now, the major U.S. markets still, to me, look like the place to be.
All right. So what's next on our hit parade here?
Well, the hit parade would be the Toronto markets, and the Toronto big board, the TSX, was negative for the month, if you can imagine that. And I don't know. I didn't have time to take a look at other major markets, but it could be the largest equity market in the world that was negative over the month. A couple of things weighed in. I think the Bank of Canada rate raise, they're now equal to the U.S. that happened during the month. We've already mentioned cryptos, and we should also mention medical marijuana and soon to be recreational marijuana. Those speculative companies took a hit in Canada. Oil was up, but not the oil sands. Oil sands continue to be in a world of hurt. So there's some things that are weighing on the Toronto big board. Toronto Venture Exchange had a very mixed month. It went as high as 940 in early January, but it's been pretty much downhill all the time since that. It closed at 864, up 1.5% on the month. The metals are going up, but I think that index, once again, is being affected by the pullback of marijuana stocks and cryptos.
Yeah, no doubt.
Emerging market index, very strong once again. All-time record again, up to 1254, 8% gain, of course, led by China. And a volatility index bumped up quite a bit in the last two or three days a month on the volatility you previously mentioned, close at 1375. And that's the high since December of 2016, but still historically low.
Yeah, not much volatility in this market for sure. Well, let's take a look at our money indicators, indices, and dollar keeps going down.
Yep, dollar hit a low since December of 2014, and that was, if you remember, was during the oil crash after it had had a big run-up since then. It's been negative 9 of the last 11 months, closed below 90, closed at 89.11 for a 3.5% loss. Euro, of course, had a 3.5% gain, closed at 1.24. That, once again, the high since December of 2014. 10-year Treasury, that's big news right here. Bonds are in the crapper as the interest rate rises, rose to 2.72%. That's a 3-year high since late 2013, early Q1 of 2014. And we'll talk about this, about gold in a minute, but this is certainly weighing on gold over the month. And finally, the kleptocurrency, as you are fond of calling it, Bitcoin. Went from a high, intra-month high of over $17,000, closed at $10,160 for a 29% loss on the month. And that's a two-month hold low, and your 60% retracement has occurred during this month, and it also occurred during December. So yeah. The bloom is off the rose a little bit on kleptocurrencies. We'll see where they go from here.
Yeah, good question. There's been some good scholarly work done on Bitcoin and its susceptibility to manipulation. These academics examined Bitcoin during the Mt. Gox era when it went from, I think, around $200 to $1,200 and then collapsed after Mt. Gox was taken out. And there's similar types of manipulation occurring now that's got the regulators concerned, but kind of sitting on their hands because they don't know really how to regulate these markets, if they can be regulated, which is an open question. Well, let's take a look at the metals. Better picture than the kleptos, that's for sure.
Yeah, the metals had a very nice month for the most part. Gold was up 3.3%, closed at 1345. It went as high as 1358. Major resistance here at 1360 that it keeps trying to bump up to that, but hadn't gotten over it. Driven by the weaker dollar for the most part, but weighed in by the rise in the U.S. 10-year Treasury bond. One thing I should say, this is one of the most positive seasons for an increasing gold price. We usually see an increase of gold price from late December through the end of February. So we're seeing that. Silver still underperforming, closed at 1731, up a little bit more than 2%. Platinum closed the month at an even $1,000. You know, we've been talking ad infinitum for the last 2 or 3 years about how platinum was oversold and undervalued compared to the other precious metals. Well, it's catching up very quickly. It was at 880 in early December, and I got lucky enough to buy some platinum on that day. During the month, though, palladium hit its all-time high on January 13th, mid-month, hit 1122. It's fallen drastically since then, closed at 1024, down 2.6%. over the month. But this ratio we've been talking about, way out of bounds. The platinum to gold ratio is starting to recover. Finished the month at 0.74, down from its historic low in December of 0.71. And perhaps more importantly, the platinum to palladium ratio closed yesterday at 0.98, and that's up from 0.87, which was a 17-year low that we saw in December. So that ratio is starting to normalize a bit.
Yeah, I think the arbitragers moved in there and they bought platinum, sold palladium. Probably that had some effect.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a perfect arbitrage based on all historical data. There's no reason for palladium to be trading more than platinum. It's certainly not as much as it was. I mean, that ratio was so out of whack. So now we're seeing the result of an imbalance. And all right, so what about copper for the month, Mickey?
Copper had quite a volatile mid-month. There was a 2 or 3 day period. It went from 325 to 312 and back to 322. It closed the month at 321 for a 5 cent loss, 1.6%. It is in backward for the next 2 months, which is quite unusual because we've had this extremely robust forward curve for copper. But I think this has to do with one thing and one thing only, and that's the Chinese New Year occurs in 2 weeks. So we historically are going to see a downturn in metals demand during this period of time. And I think that's the reason we remain quite bullish on copper going forward.
It's had a nice run. It had a great run last year, and so it pulls back a little. Probably not much reason for concern, and the world economy is definitely looking up, as is the U.S. economy. Go moving on to our energy sector now. A lot of movement there last month.
Yeah, we had just a wonderful month for the oils. WTI was more than $66 a barrel last week. It's since fallen off a bit, but it closed at $64.82 for nearly an 8% gain. The news coming out of the American oil patch shale oil is just, you can't get any better than that. We are now approaching 10 million barrels a day. We'll hit 10 million barrels a day in February. If we average that, it'll be all-time high. The Brent to WTI arbitrage is starting to narrow. It's down to half of what it was. Brent still had a nice month, closed at $69.02, up 3.3%. Meanwhile, Henry Hub went above $3 after it fallen last month. Very cold January or portions of January in the Northeast tier. So we expected that to happen. It closed at 319, up almost 10% on the month. Get this, spot prices during that cold snap went as high as $35 a million BTU in New England.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because there's no pipelines.
Yeah.
So, you know, illustrious governors over a period of time have blocked all pipelines, new pipeline capacity through the state of New York. So, and of course, Massachusetts has done it too. So when it gets cold there and more, all these power plants are burning natural gas and there's just no pipeline capacity. Can you imagine that? A spot price of $35 for natural gas if you heat your home with natural gas. Yikes. Hate to see your January bill.
Forget.
And finally, uranium had a very bad month, down 9%. It's broken down again over the last week. No support base yet, despite the production cuts we saw in the late fall. Closed at 21.88, or nearly a 9% loss.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. The ratios?
Well, I think there's a couple of things I'll mention. Gold silver ratio is up to 78. That's something. If it gets to 80, that becomes a very strong buy signal for silver. We already mentioned platinum, gold, and platinum, palladium. And we should mention, too, I mentioned earlier the arbitrage and narrow. That Brent to WT arbitrage is now down to 1.06. Down, you know, it was 1.13 as late as November, early November. And another thing that struck me, we don't talk about it very much, but it takes 21 barrels of oil to buy an ounce of gold right now. And that's still, even though the oil price is coming up, is very high historically. You know, historically, we look at a normal ratio somewhere around 13 to 1.
Yeah, which was back in 2013, 14, we saw that. And then it just started because price of oil collapsed. I mean, we saw it get to 28. 33, 38. I mean, it was pretty amazing, and it's kind of been drifting back down.
It has, and I expect it to drift back in even more. You know, I'm pretty bullish on the oil markets right now.
Yeah, well, they definitely look like they hit their low, and they're going up from here. And it's just interesting that the U.S. producers, the shale oil producers, can keep upping their production in the face of cuts from OPEC and Russia.
Gary, it is amazing the number of DUCs in the Permian Basin. I think I saw a number last week or the week before, 7,500 shale oil wells drilled but not completed in the Permian Basin for lack of pipeline capacity to the Texas Gulf Coast. There's been some news. There's a new pipeline that is approved and is being built very soon. So there's no wind in sight right now for U.S. shale producers.
Yeah. For gas, it's been another story that prices have stayed so low that they've just kept a lot of shut-in capacity. And if we see a bump up in natural gas prices, we'll see a huge bump up in production.
Well, a lot of that has to do with LNG, exporting LNG to in that market. Despite the troubles they've had, I expect the LNG market in the U.S. to continue to increase.
Yeah, they even talked about it in Massachusetts, importing LNG, because they have no other way to get it.
Well, and so then the problem will be, we're not going to build a pipeline out to the tanker, the ships sitting offshore, you know, like they've done in the Gulf Coast, Louisiana. So, you know, those are the same people that be back wind power because they didn't like the ideas of windmills sitting out in the ocean. They didn't want to look at them. So, you know, the NIMBYs and the banana build absolutely nothing anywhere near anything sort of crowd.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They'll be sitting next to their solar heaters shivering because there's no such thing as a solar heater.
Well, hey, if you've ever seen people that live in New England in the wintertime, it's obvious with a pallor on their faces, the sun doesn't shine a lot.
Not much. Well, anyway, that's it for this month's monthly market review. And we will be back again next month, same time. Find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com. Find us over at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Hey, Mickey's Twitter feed at mercenarygeo, our Twitter feed at Kerry Lutz, and the Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Mickey, we'll meet you back same time, same place next month.
Look forward to it. Spring training starts in 2 weeks, Gary.
Wow, got to get ready for that. I'll check it out. It's right down the street from my house here.
Righto.